The Money Show.
Business Unusual
with Colin Cullis.
Business Unusual brought to you by Nedbank Business Banking. In the trenches of business, don't lose sight of the bigger picture. To guide your growth, search Nedbank Bigger Picture Business Banking. Colin Cullis, all that alliteration is fabulous. Now, batteries. The battery industry, I think, is getting better and better and better at batteries, isn't it?
It is, and part of the reason why I wanted to pick it up this evening, there's no shortage of sort of challenging news, but there was encouraging to see that South Africa's latest wind farm is about to come online. It was busy coming online in Paardekraal East, which is sort of in the middle of the groove somewhere, and it'll add another 110 megawatts of power, and by the end of next year, over 1,000 megawatts of new renewable energy will be added to the grid, which will kind of get us out of a whole load shedding level, which is great news. But the challenge with all renewable energies is, of course, that you can generate the stuff and then you've got to use it or lose it. In fact, that goes for all energy. And for the longest time, we've been trying to find a better way to kind of store it. There have been some options. In fact, we use things like hydroelectric power. It's a great way of storing it because typically the power you generate at night from baseload power stations, they pretty much have to keep running. You don't switch them on and off, they keep running. So the power that you ultimately generate and would otherwise waste gets diverted to pump huge amounts of water up an incline, up top of a hill typically, and then store that water almost as weight for it to come sloshing down the next day, running turbines to give you power again where you need it during the peaks. So I thought, as we're adding renewable energy and so building out our capacity, what are we doing to try and improve on our battery capacity? And that has lagged behind a little bit, but the good news is South Africa has been scoping for increasing its battery capacity options. In 2018, it started the sort of talks about what it will need and where it will go. In 2019, it actually made it available and said, right, we're going to ask everybody to get this ready. They did supposedly want it ready by 2020. They've missed that because only in August, sort of September, did the actual opportunity for bidding begin. But at least that is for a start. I think it's an 80 megawatt battery that they're looking to go with. Also going to be built here initially in the Western Cape, but they're going to be needed all over the show, and particularly to work in conjunction with renewable energy sources. Effectively, when the wind is blowing fiercely, but there isn't much demand for it, let's say during the middle of the day, then the batteries, of course, will be able to absorb all of that. Then come the evenings or the next morning, when perhaps the wind isn't blowing or the sun hasn't risen yet, but we need power, then the batteries can assist. And so I thought I'd run through some of the kinds that we have available and how they will work in the different sectors. And the other reason, I think, for raising this, it's a fantastic opportunity for a new industry to get started in South Africa that, depending on the options that are chosen, the materials, the know-how, the entire industry can be run and operated out of South Africa. So it's not just getting us out of an energy bind, which we've been in for a long time, but actually providing a whole new industry, supplying work and income, and then potentially exporting that know-how to our neighboring countries who will also need this and would be a much better way than, for example, going the old route and relying on fossil fuels, etc. So the starting point would be us in the home. So the kind of options we have there, and like you pointed out, the options for lithium batteries or certain kinds of lead acid based batteries are getting better and certainly cheaper. That starts making it worth our while. And while South Africans have probably been motivated to get them simply because they're not happy with load shedding, but getting yourself a couple hours of capacity would be fantastic. One, it gets you through a typical load shedding period. But if we have enough people who have got the batteries, then effectively during a morning or afternoon peak, switching to the battery power rather than the grid power would give Eskom the opportunity to say we've effectively flattened the peak, flattening the curve in a whole different way, as it were. And the challenge, I suppose, is to say, okay, well, if I'm going to spend money on the batteries, I still effectively have to charge them electricity because the options for putting solar on your roof and how much you can charge them, et cetera, that's still a very expensive thing to do, and only quite wealthy families will have the option to do it, whereas possibly just buying a battery could come in at a slightly lower cost and certainly a little easier to integrate into your home. So the option here is that Eskom would manage the charging of those batteries and say, effectively, we're going to charge all those batteries in your home at night. And then the next morning, we will switch on to use that power, and we won't charge you, you know, the same rates for using the power in the morning because effectively we charge them with the power at the night. And again, this is something that other countries that are starting to develop a much greater electric car network are effectively giving people the opportunity to charge the cars overnight at a much reduced rate, and they're potentially looking to use those in the mornings and in the evenings to try and offset it. But the really remarkable one for the home, and it is very experimental still at the moment, but this is Business Unusual after all, is one that involves a capacitor brick. So a brick battery is what they're busy developing. And quite honestly, my eyes watered just trying to read through the details of what it is they are looking to do. Let me tell you that the thing calls for a scalable, cost-effective, and versatile chemical synthesis using a fire brick to control oxidative radical polymerization and deposition of a nanofibular coating.
Okay, we got that. Move on. Don't patronize us here, Colin. Goodness. Goodness me.
And effectively, what potentially would do, given that your home's built out of brick, well, there's a battery, you know, built in place. It doesn't store a very big charge, and it won't have a very big capacity. But you'll be able to cover things like lights, and certainly for larger buildings, etc. Or with the advent of things like 5G that requires new forms of energy to power all these little devices all over the show. Well, if construction is done with bricks that are capacitive, and there's a little solar power something, well, then that's a great way to store them. So that's the sort of home level that we can look at. We expand out a little bit to the neighborhoods, and here the sort of municipalities want to make sure that if there is some interruptions between the general power stations and the neighborhoods they're dealing with, they don't want power to go down to neighborhoods or where they need to supply things for hospitals or schools or just the traffic lights for that matter. So having smaller battery operations sort of at a neighborhood level could allow for that. And of course, there you're looking for cost effectiveness, you're looking for reliability and safety. And lithium ion is fantastic for these sorts of operations because they are really, really quick. When the power goes down, they're effectively instantly available to take over. And one of the clever uses, and again, this is in the countries where the electric cars have started becoming a thing, and so they've needed to have the charging stations, that after about 10 years, the battery packs inside cars don't become quite as effective for driving around. So what they do is they take those battery packs out and they stick them in sort of containers and they make big container batteries. They then stick those at the charging points. And if you want really fast charging, well, then because they're lithium ion batteries, they can dump a huge amount of charge out very quickly without having to have the grid supply that, while the grid itself will slowly charge those back up and overnight when there aren't any cars charging, use them. And so a similar thing could be used at sort of a neighborhood level, schools, etc., where you'll have the smaller capacity, but pretty much always on ready to go batteries that would work in that way. And then if you zoom out a little bit further from that, then you sort of look, okay, now a city is looking to create something that will sort of cover its bases. Again, cities like Cape Town, which is a very long way from all of the big generating capacity that's happening up in Mpumalanga, if the powers go down simply because of the wires that are connecting the grid go down, then the entire city is sort of in a bit of trouble. And then the city for a while has been looking to sort of look at its own generating capacity. Well, maybe the alternative is to say, let Eskom take care of all the generation, the stuff that's coming from renewables, etc. is great. And the city invests simply in the storage options, because if typically the power might be out for a couple of hours or maybe a day, having sufficient battery power to sort of cover the bases would be a good option. Now, anybody who knows anything about energy is going to laugh when I tell them batteries that take care of a city's energy requirements for a day, that's not the scale that it operates on. But again, it just gets you out of the real pinches when a power plant drops and as a consequence they have to do massive load shedding or you lose your power altogether. It can fill in the couple of hours that you need under those circumstances, or again, just flatten the peaks when you've got the big demands coming in the mornings and the evenings. And here the technology that's possibly a little better than the lithium ion stuff is the redox flow batteries. And once again, rather than lithium, which we do require to mine somewhere and they don't have huge amounts of it in South Africa, the sort of chemicals and materials that are needed to make the redox flow batteries are already available. And I think South Africa has pretty much big reserves of some of the stuff that goes into them. The vanadium ones, I understand, are one of the popular ones, and we certainly have quite good reserves of that. So building these, which are much larger batteries, they can be run almost till they're completely flat. They can be recharged and discharged a lot more often. They're a lot more robust. They're less of a fire risk. One of the catches with lithium ion is that they are very reactive, and were there to be a fire in a lithium ion sort of battery plant or something of that nature, they're really a challenge for firefighters to put out, whereas these redox flow batteries are slightly less of a risk. However, they do contain very expensive chemicals, so you wouldn't exactly want it next to residential suburbs or something, but possibly just on the outer edges or in commercial or industrial areas. That would make sense. And then scaling out a little further, and the ones that I only recently heard about, so this could be done near the wind farms or the solar plants, or in some respects, I would say even next to the current coal and gas-fired plants, are the kind that use liquid air. Now, the technology isn't new. It's just the application that they're starting to see is of value. We've needed liquid oxygen and liquid nitrogen and all sorts of stuff for many other industrial uses. But in the process of cooling the air down to liquid, obviously you use a lot of energy. But the reverse is possible if you take liquefied air, which is very cold and in a liquid form, and then you simply allow it to warm up. As it heats up, the pressure inside the canisters that you keep them will increase. And if you direct the pressure from the expanding air, you can drive turbines and generators and effectively produce electricity again from that. And so the notion here would be you can scale these up to have lots and lots of containers holding the air. The air is available everywhere and anywhere you are. If you want to go an extra step, you can say, well, as you're liquefying the air, you can separate out the carbon dioxide as a component,
right?
And so start capturing it or diverting it so that when you've got maybe vertical farms that are in greenhouses, the greenhouses then can operate with a much higher carbon dioxide level, effectively giving the plants what they're looking for and help them grow a little better while removing it from where we are. Similarly, there are going to be options for us wanting, for example, a little more liquid oxygen in the future, possibly as rocket technology takes off and we need more of that. And there are plans for converting aeroplanes to start using hydrogen fuel cells. And so extracting hydrogen and potentially the oxygen that would react with it becomes sort of a little more useful. Or in the absolute best case scenario, because I'm not advocating we get rid of coal power stations or the gas stations for that matter, because where you have a whole lot of coal available, and the ability to generate power there is incredibly cheap, it makes sense for us to continue to do so, just to try and do it in a way that reduces the carbon emissions. So taking, for example, this a liquid power plant or liquid battery option next to the coal power station and diverting all of the emissions from the power station, cooling it down, liquefying it, and then extracting the CO2, et cetera, the cost of using the coal effectively gets reduced and makes it more sustainable for a country like South Africa that has a huge supply of coal and you know, power stations already set up and ready to run for a good many years. So the opportunity to balance this all out, I think, is quite good. And then when combined with the other renewable energies, batteries like this would effectively allow other countries who are still quite reliant on their fossil fuel power plants to effectively buy carbon credits from us, giving us not just the offset for the producing cost, but an investment back into our infrastructure in order to offset their own. And then to take that, as I say, through the rest of Africa, which currently still has very low levels of electrification. And the option there then is to say we can bypass, as it were, all of the fossil fuel section, the bit that has made a lot of environmentalists quite worried that as developing nations want to build, they get dirty. So in amongst all of that, and hopefully a new industry for South Africans to double down and get some batteries built.
My goodness gracious me, I'm quite worn out. I need one of your batteries. Thank you, Colin Cullis, with Business Unusual this evening. The amazing world, the deep complexity, of course, of the world of renewable power and storage of that renewable power. It's all well and good to create it, but what on earth do you do when you have it? Colin Cullis with some answers.